One of the great attributes that each Christian is supposed to cultivate in each individual Christian life is that of growth. In fact, as we think about growing, one verse I suppose that ought to be very prominent in our mind is how the Apostle Peter closes 2 Peter, the entire letter, really the last word that we have from Peter as far as Scripture is concerned. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the final exhortation to all readers, to all Christians as we have this book, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so we have this great blessing of having the Word of God that we might read passages like this to learn that you and I need to grow. We understand, of course, as we look at the Scriptures, that growth is a very Christ-like quality that each and every one of us should incorporate into our own lives. We read about Jesus Christ from the time that He was 12 years old and forward in Luke 2, verse 52, that Jesus grew. The Bible tells us Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor, and in wisdom, favor, stature, and with favor with God and favor with man. And so we understand that Jesus was an individual who, although divine, also grew. And if you and I are going to be like Christ, if we are we going to wear the name of Jesus, we're going to wear the name and have the attributes of Christ, then we need to be like Jesus. We need to grow like Jesus grew. And specifically, as we look at what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. We want to grow in grace. And, you know, kind of as part of this introduction as well, before we can grow in grace, we must be in grace. We've got to be a child of God in grace, covered by the grace of God to grow like God wants us to grow. In other words, we have to have come to the point in our lives where we realize that we need God's forgiveness, that we need God's grace because of our sin. And because of our sin, we turn to God and acknowledge that that's our only hope. We turn away from sin because sin is what got us into the disaster of being lost in the first place. And so we turn away from sin. We turn to God. That's repenting. We repent of those sins. We turn to God. We understand that our only hope, the only place we can find the grace that we need, the only place we can find salvation is in Christ. And so to grow in grace, we must first be in that grace as well. And we must be a child of God. And we turn from sin to God, and the grace of God has made provision for us and our salvation. Jesus said, very simply, in Mark 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Apostle Paul was told in Acts 22:16, and why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so that obedience to the command of the Lord to believe, to be baptized, to be immersed, washes away our sins. That's not that we earned it. That's the grace of God. And so before we can grow in grace, we must be in grace. We must obey the gospel and receive the grace of God and forgiveness of our sins and salvation of our soul. And once we do that, we can begin to grow in grace. Now, for us to kind of spend a few minutes together today thinking about growing in grace, I want you to look at a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is the introductory remarks that the Apostle Paul makes to the church at Thessalonica as he writes them this letter. And there's a part of, particularly verse 3, that is going to serve kind of as a miniature outline, a springboard for us today as we think about
how we can grow in grace. When you look at this text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, there's the greeting, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. And then verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. This is going to serve as our outline, basically, where we're going to develop three ways to grow in grace. And from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we see that there is faith, hope, and love. And when you look at that text, you see that they were remembered for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. And that is how we're going to take what he says there in that greeting, what he says about those first century Christians in Thessalonica, how they were remembered, and how you and I can take that to grow in grace ourselves and to grow in the Lord ourselves. And so simply stated, taking it in the order that it's in the text, we're going to look at growing in grace by growing in faith, by growing in love, and by growing in hope. And when we begin to tackle those things and to begin to assimilate those into our own Christian lives, we can begin to see how what Peter wrote, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that will become more of a way and a pattern of thinking for us. So grow in grace. Well, how? How? Well, number one, here's grow in faith. Notice that to the church at Thessalonica, they were told their work of faith. They were growing in their faith. You and I need to grow in our faith. Let me suggest to you very quickly three ways in which we can grow in our faith. Number one, we can grow our faith in size. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a passage I think that's probably extremely familiar to most of us, and yet it has something to say to us about how we can grow our faith in size. And by that, this is what I'm trying to say. The more we study the Word of God, the more, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, if our faith ultimately grows and develops by the Word of God, the more I read the Bible, the more I study the Bible, the more I'm in Bible classes, both publicly and in a congregational setting and personal Bible study in my own home, the more I study the Bible, the larger, the more extensive my faith will grow. The more you read the Bible, the more your faith will grow. Your faith will grow in size. And so read your Bible. Study the Word of God. Be in Bible classes and study the Bible class at home. Grow your faith in size. But now, secondly, I would also like to suggest that we can grow our faith in solidity. In other words, we can make our faith solid. You see, the more you grow your faith in size, well, the larger it becomes, and so, therefore, the more solid it becomes. But also, I want you to think about, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the church at Ephesus, they were warned not to be tossed about to and fro, back and forth, here, there, and yon, by every wind of doctrine. In other words, they were told to engage themselves specifically in the Word of God so that they might not be misled or led astray and tossed around by all sorts of other teachings. They were to solidify themselves in the very Word of God. They were to ground themselves in the Scripture. They were to plant themselves in the very teachings of the Word of God. So not only was their faith growing in size, not only can our faith grow in size, it was also growing in its solidarity, in its solidity, in its firmness, its permanence. And you and I can let our faith grow exactly like that by systematically, consistently reading and studying the Word of God. I mean, if you want a plant to grow, you've got to water it. You don't water a plant, it's going to die. If we want our faith to grow, we've got to cultivate it. We've got to plant it in our own hearts. We've got to nurture it and care for it. And it grows in its solidarity. It grows in its solidity. It grows in its firmness in our lives. But then I would also suggest to you that we can grow our faith in its strength. And really, when you grow your faith in its size and its solidity, it will grow in its strength. And when we think about growing our faith in its strength, what we're talking about is growing our faith to the point that we take God at His Word. We earnestly believe the promises of God. We earnestly believe, like we said a few moments ago, Jesus said, "He who believes and is immersed shall be saved." We believe that. We take God at His Word. We don't try to explain that away or argue about it. We obey it. But so many other applications of that, endless applications of that, that when we are growing our faith in its size, in its solidity, it grows in its strength. It becomes something that is very powerful for us, that we lean upon, that we trust upon, because we believe God. We believe what God says. We believe God's Word. We cannot be shaken from that. You know, did you notice in the reading a few moments ago, closer to the beginning of our worship assembly, that from Hebrews 11, it was about Abraham and Sarah. And these were people who were told when they were very old and past childbearing age for Sarah that they were going to have a child. And it says that Abraham was one good as dead, and yet from him came a child that developed into a nation. Abraham, it says, is recognized for believing what God said as unbelievable, as impossible to the human mind that it sounded. His faith grew in its strength. And so our faith needs to grow in its strength. We may not always understand why God says what He says or how God is going to make something out of the situation that we're facing and how God can bring us through it and how God can help us and bless us through a particular deal that we're having to face. But because we take God at His Word, and because we believe God's promises, we will not be shaken. We will let our faith grow in strength, in its solidity, and in its size. Well now, let's move from that point to a second one about growing in grace. And when we look back at our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see that these people were also known for their labor of love. And so secondly, we want to grow in grace. Well, first we want to grow, let our faith grow. But secondly, we want to grow in grace by growing in love. And notice that the text says here about the church at Thessalonica, a very interesting statement about love. You know, you interpret love today in our society and how everybody is wanting everything to go so nicely and favorably and everybody gets a trophy and so on, you know. Love is just one of these wonderful, great, easy, simple things. But look at, and there is that element to love. I'm not denying that. But look at the text again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, what about it? It's a labor of love. You've got to work at it. Sometimes this can be challenging. That's why, as we think about growing, we need to think about love. Because love doesn't always just absolutely come naturally. Love isn't always the easiest thing for us to wrap ourselves around and to share with others. We've got to grow. We've got to develop. And we've got to grow in love. And sometimes that means, like the text says, that we've got to work at it. You remember what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 about nothing being able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? You remember those things that potentially can separate us that are named in Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, it says there are such things as tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All these are difficult things. All these are challenges that are not pleasant at all. But it says none of these things can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 35. And so if we're going to grow in this kind of love, then when we face the difficulties, when we face the challenges, when we face the things that are of such a negative connotation that are in Romans 8 and other places in the Bible that shake us to the very core, because we are growing, because we are growing our faith in strength and size and solidarity, we are also growing our love. And we realize that nothing will take God's love away from us. And that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so we are growing in that love in a very positive direction. And we grow until every act that we commit, everything that we do, it's not a labor. But as 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, what? It's a labor of love. And we gladly, willingly, lovingly work for Jesus. You see, that's growing in love. That's growing to the point that even when Jesus says in Matthew 5:44 for a little bit of an application, that we can love our enemies and pray for them. You see, that's not something that comes naturally. That's something we'll probably have to work at. That's a love, but it's a labor of love. And we see it demonstrated and illustrated so vividly in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, after preaching to the crowd that wasn't very receptive, was dragged away and stoned to death. And some of his final words were not for his own sake. Some of his final words were not negative against these people that had perpetrated this horrible, sinful crime against him. But some of his last words, Father, lay not this sin against their charge. That's the man who was working at it. That's the man who was not doing what came naturally. But because he had grown in grace, because he was in grace and he grew in grace, and because of his faith and his love, he could do that. There's the application. Grow in love, even for those who don't love us. But now back to our text again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we see our third leg of growth. There's growth in the work of faith, number one. Number two, the labor of love. And number three, the patience of hope. You know, when we think about faith, love, and hope, we usually think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now abides these three, faith, hope, and charity, from the King James, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When you begin to read through the New Testament, particularly the writings of the Apostle Paul, and I know he was inspired by God, but when you begin to read through the writings of the Apostle Paul, I want you just for an experiment, I guess you might say, but it's a growth exercise as well. I want you to go through the Apostle Paul's letters, and I want you to begin to list how many times these triplets come together. Faith, hope, and love. And you will find it to be several different times. This is just one of them, and 1 Corinthians 13 is another one. But we're talking about growing in faith. We're talking about growing in love. But now, third, from the order in the text in 1 Thessalonians, growing in hope. And notice, again, the text, like it does with the other two, it modifies it a little bit. The patience of hope. And it gives us just a little more of a nuance to the meaning of what kind of hope that we're growing in. A hope that, although I may not see this with my eyes, I know it by my faith. We understand that hope is actually part of our faith. The classic definition, Hebrews chapter 11, faith comes by, that's Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, hope is a part of the definition of faith. And I'm led to believe, because of that, if your faith isn't growing, your hope probably isn't either. And I'm led to believe that if I am not a person of faith, I'm probably not a person with a lot of hope either. And so we have to grow in hope. And the Bible word hope, especially in the New Testament, is not exactly the same way we use it in our English language today in 2019. We talk about hope with a question mark after it. You know, we say, well, I hope, you know, we're able to do this. I hope we're able to go here. I sure hope so-and-so gets better. And we almost have a question mark with the word hope every time we say it. The word hope, as it's used in the New Testament, isn't really like that. The word hope, as it's used in the New Testament, really could more fully be defined as confident expectation. Faith is the substance of things confidently expected. Not a question mark. You see, we have to grow in our faith, and we have to grow in our love, to get to that point. To be able to see things not with our eyes anymore, but with our faith. And we are growing now in hope. And again, when we look back in our text, we notice that it says we are growing in the patience of hope. Because sometimes the way I want things to go are not necessarily the way they go. Or the way I want things to go when I want them to go that way are not only not the way that I want them to go, but they don't even go the way I want them to go when I want them to go that way. And so it's all something that sometimes I'm left, you know, you remember the old game, you know, where you put a bat down on the ground and put your four-footer around it and spin around 10 times and then try to walk? Sometimes that's the way life is. And you just felt like you tried to take a step after spinning around 10 times on the head of a baseball bat. And you end up right on the ground. Patience of hope. That's where we're growing. It's not instantaneous gratification. It's not that I punch a button and boom, out of the slot comes exactly what I want. And it's the right size, the right color, and the right taste. Now sometimes I couldn't even find the button to push. And sometimes when I push it, it's the wrong size, it's the wrong color, it's the wrong taste, and I don't want it at all. Patience of hope. Confident expectation. It may not be the way I planned it. It might not be the way I would write the script. This is not how the book would end if you gave me the typewriter, okay? Y'all know what a typewriter is, don't you? The word "the end" would come several chapters later. Or maybe several chapters earlier. Patience of hope. Confident expectation. This is something that we grow in. Now, it doesn't come naturally, usually. We grow in faith and love and hope. The confident expectation that eventually from Hebrews 6, we learn will anchor us. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, to the full assurance of hope until the end. Look, grab on, that's a rung on a ladder that we're climbing. Every word there is a rung on a ladder that we're climbing. Full assurance of hope until the end. That's a rung on every ladder that we're climbing. That you do not, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience, ooh, that ties us right back to 1 Thessalonians 1:3, the patience of hope. And here we're talking about hope. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 19 of the same chapter. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the presence behind the veil. You see, that's the goal of the growth, of the confident expectation, of the patience of hope. The anchor of the soul. Grow in that kind of hope. Grow like Jesus grew. Grow like God wants us to grow. Grow like the Bible teaches. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grow like Jesus. Luke 2:52. Grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow like the Lord. in Acts chapter 4, the apostles and first century Christians had been preaching and teaching. And because of the opposition from the powers that be, they were arrested. They were examined, they were questioned. And in Acts 4, verse 13, it says that the authorities and the opposing forces of Christianity, it says in Acts 4:13, they marveled. They marveled at these men because they didn't have the kind of highbrow education that the opposing forces had. So they marveled at these men. And then look at Acts 4:13. And then what? They took note that they had been with Jesus. We're to grow in faith, love, and hope. All those things that make us more like Jesus. And so when the crowd looks at me, when the world looks at you, when the powers that be that are opposed look at us, can they take note that we have been with Jesus? If that's not who you're with right now, and that's not where you are right now, will you come to be with Jesus? Will you be restored if you're unfaithful? Will you be baptized in His name, turning away from sin to be added to His church? Will you come to be with Jesus and grow in faith and love and hope? Will you come this morning as we stand and we sing?